privilege it is to be here with you. And hey, Brother McCurdy, great job. And what a wonderful family. And I sat there as I'm still in the process of raising children. And just the verse, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. And Brother McCurdy's a blessed man to be up here singing about Jesus Christ with his kids. Brother McCurdy, Miss McCurdy, I admire you for your faithful years of serving Jesus Christ. And what a great special. It's good to see you. Finals week, you get to go home in a couple of weeks. For those of you that are in my Acts class, you got to finish your final yesterday. And I'm looking forward to that you get to go home and see family. And we sure are looking forward to having you come back. This morning has been kind of a crazy morning, and I had a lot to do and a lot to get accomplished. And so I thought I needed to, just the way I am and the way my brain works, I needed to get here early and sit in my car for an hour and gather my thoughts and spend some time with the Lord. And I did just that, and I'm sitting there, and it's getting kind of close. I needed to be back here about 10 till, and I have my coat on, my winter coat, and I looked next to me where my sport coat's supposed to be. Then I look inside my coat, and no sport coat to be found. So I rushed home and put my sport coat on and came out here just in the nick of time. And so I'm frazzled, and my hair's all messed up, and didn't have time to do it this morning. But it is good to see you this morning, and love Hiles Anderson College, and what a privilege it is. Teachers, I admire you, and what great men and ladies of God, and love you very much. It's a great honor to, of course, I'm not supposed to embarrass my children. You're never supposed to do that, so I won't mention Megan, but it's always a honor to have family and my children with me as I preach or as we serve in the ministry. And then what a special treat and honor to have my parents that are here with me this morning. I love them, and they're just couldn't get any better parents than I have. And it's an honor that to have them here with us this morning. Open your Bibles. Here we go. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to look at the first 10 verses. And I'm going to read the first 9. And then you're going to read with me once we get to verse number 10. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Verse number 10, I need you good and loud, if you would, to read the 10th verse with me. And I'm going to speak to you for the next just few minutes, really, on having an eternal purpose. And I've been really burdened about this and thinking a lot about it. And so, you know, we all have one life to live. And I know that you think you've got youth on your side, and you do. But you don't know how long God will give you here on this earth. So it's important that we live today with a purpose, with God's purpose. That we don't let today go by without accomplishing what he intended for us to get done today. Not just a to-do list. I'm a to-do list person. But we're talking about eternity for God's purpose, for God's glory, accomplishing his purpose in our lives. And so I've been challenged by that, and I'd like to challenge you with that same thought. Ephesians chapter 2, follow along, please. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, ready? "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father, we love you. What a great privilege and honor it is to preach the Word of God anywhere. But at Hiles Anderson College is an extra special privilege because we have a room full of young men and young ladies that I believe you've tapped them on the shoulder and you've given them a purpose. And Father, I want to just simply try to encourage them to identify that purpose and commit to that purpose. And Father, it's all for your glory. I pray that you would meet with us now in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This verse basically gives us two truths. First of all, it says that we are his workmanship, that you were created by God. You were not an accident. God created and formed you with a very special purpose in mind. And not only that, not only did God create you, but it says that you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So first of all, God created you, but he created you and has a plan for your life and he has a purpose for your life. And just as way of introduction, the majority of the sermon is going to just lay some groundwork for three basic statements at the end. And I want to, in a sermon like this, and it's probably cliche to say it, but please draw a circle around yourself, and I want you to look in that circle for the next few minutes, and I want you to think about some of these statements as I make them. The first one is that you are important to God. God made you just the way you are. God loves you, and we know that. But not only does God love you, he likes you. Again, we're talking about you. We're not talking about the person sitting next to you. I want you to know that you uniquely are special to God. God loves you and God likes you. Not only that, but I believe that God has a wonderful purpose for your life. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, the glory of God as our only means to glorifying him, the salvation of human souls, is the real business of life. C.S. Lewis said, the real business of life is for all of us here to bring glory to God. And there's no greater way to bring glory to God than the salvation of human souls. Billy Sunday said, more men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. It is once said that a man without purpose is like a ship without a rudder. You might look grand, you might look like you can accomplish much, but again, without purpose, you're not going anywhere and you're not accomplishing anything. It was once said that there was a sign that was on a church door that said, gone out of business. We never knew what our business was. Again, as you come down at some point to the end of your life, and let's say that God blesses you with 70, what a shame it would be to hang a sign on your life that said, out of business. We never accomplish God's purpose for your life. You see, the reason I'm here and the reason you're here is to figure out why we're here. And that is to bring glory to him and to fulfill his purpose for our lives. In preparation of this sermon, I studied and read much about a man by the name of Viktor Frankl. Viktor was an Austrian psychiatrist who worked slave labor in the brutal German concentration camp in World War II. It's very interesting as I read about him. He was in such harsh conditions that the men that were there with him in this prison camp, they just couldn't take the conditions. And man after man after man lost his life and died. And again, it was just at a rapid pace. But as he looked at the scores of people that were living there with him, he couldn't figure out why some seemed to be doing so well. And he watched them going through the same difficulties, but they seemed to be doing okay, almost thriving. And this man, being a doctor and a psychiatrist, over the next several months started interviewing these men that were doing well. And he asked them a few basic questions, and the conclusion of all of those questions were this, and that is that every single one of those men had a purpose. Every single one, as he asked that question, why are you doing so well? Every single one had an answer. It was a wife back home. It was children. And Viktor Frankl wrote himself, he said, and after talking to these men, He said, my purpose became this book. And he spent his time, and what kept him alive during this difficult time in his life was just simply the purpose of finishing a book. Now, this man was very humanistic. This man was not like you and I, but I mention that simply because all of his writings are about having a purpose in life. And I want you to understand that there is a vast difference between a purpose that is birthed out of your own desires and a God-given purpose. If I were to ask you, what is it that you want to do? What do you like? You know, I've got a son that's a senior in high school, and I believe next year he'll be here, and I've done this with all my kids, and they're not wrong questions to ask. But what do you want? What do you think you want to do? What does God want you to do? What are your interests? What do you like to do? What are you good at? And again, many times we conjure up this purpose in life. I think I want to be a businessman, or I want to be a Christian school teacher, and all of these different desires that we have. And the problem with our desires that are birthed out of our own hearts, those are all very temporary. When you leave this earth and you've given your life to a purpose other than the purpose that God gave you, it's a very empty life. You'll spend your last day on earth, and people will remember you for a day, and then you'll be forgotten. You'll be a memory. If you've given your life to a purpose that is birthed out of your own desires. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about a God-given purpose. And you know, regardless if you leave this room and you graduate from college, and some of you are Christian school teachers and pastors and laymen and businessmen and lawyers and whatever you go on to be and accomplish, the question will be, when you come to the end of your life, can you say that you have accomplished God's purpose for your life? Again, God's purpose is what gives true meaning. Again, your life purpose makes little sense if it has significance only in this life. Christians in times past have understood God's purpose for them, and they lived bold and courageous lives because they knew exactly what God's will was for their life. And so as just way of introduction, let me ask you a few questions. Let me make some statements. And again, if there's one thing I want you to grasp this morning, as way of introduction, I want this to register to you and with you this morning. And that is that you are singularly special to God. That God in his sovereignty prepared you for a purpose unique only to you. God allows your unique contributions to his work here on earth. And again, God made you the way you are. As I look at scripture, at the people in scripture that had purpose, that fulfilled their purpose. David, in Acts 13:36, it says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, it said he fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. David, as you look at his life, he was a man that made mistakes throughout his whole life, but he followed God's purpose for his life, and he accomplished what God wanted for him. When you look at the Apostle Paul, he was given the job of taking the gospel to the Gentiles. In Acts 9:15, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God came to Paul and he said, you are a chosen vessel. When I was 19 years old, I won't give you the whole story, but when I was much younger, at the age of 12, I had my day of salvation. It was at 19 years old where God tapped me on the shoulder. And he had been tapping me on the shoulder, but 19 was my day of surrender. Where God said, Mark, you're going to be a chosen vessel. Mark, I have a purpose for you that is greater than your own desires. You see, I have great admiration for my parents. My dad was a deacon of this church for 40 or 50 years, and was a successful accountant, and I grew up with great admiration from him, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to teach Sunday school. I wanted to be an accountant. But at 19 years old, I finally surrendered, and I said, you know what, God? I will do whatever you want me to do. I had my day of surrender. I will just assume that everyone in this room, you've had your day, you have your day of salvation, but I ask you and I challenge you, have you had your day of surrender? When is it? You know, when it comes to the ministry, when it comes to fulfilling God's purpose for your life, life can bring some very difficult times. And what gets you through is knowing that God has chosen you and that God has a purpose for your life. You see, just like David and Paul, you too have a purpose that God desires you to fulfill. Again, you have been given a unique set of spiritual gifts. You have a unique personality. You have unique life experiences, all to be used in unique ways by God. Realizing that God has a specific purpose for you should keep you from ever feeling discouraged or inadequate or insignificant. Again, you are special to God. God loves you. God likes you. God made you just the way you are. He made me just the way I am. And it is my job to bring glory to God. And you can't glorify God like I can glorify God. And I can't glorify God like you can. God needs you. God needs your life. You're unique. You've been made by Him. You must fulfill your purpose for His life and bring glory to Him. I don't think you buy into it. I don't think you listen to a scripture or a sermon like this and you look at all the things that are wrong with you. Okay, but you are unique by God. God is sovereign. God doesn't make any mistakes. As I look at the student body, I don't know your stories. But no doubt there are many of you with great hurts. No doubt many of you have gone through some very deep valleys and you've gone through some terrible struggles. And do you know that God is aware of that? And that is your story. That is your life. And as you take the life that God has given you, only you can be a blessing and use that life for His glory because it's your life. And if you decide to get out of the race, if you decide not to accomplish God's purpose for your life and you live and you die, again, you're missing out not only on the blessings of living a life that is fulfilling God's purpose, but again, you're not fulfilling God's purpose for your life. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Again, everything that happens in our lives is for a reason. It's part of God's plan for you. The next statement I'll make is God's purpose requires patience. You see, the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You see, your purpose, your God-given purpose, was determined in eternity past before you were born. When it comes to Jeremiah, God came to him and He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, or I set you apart. I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Bible scholars, if they're right, they say that When Jeremiah got that word from the Lord, he was 20 or 30 years old. What that tells me is that Jeremiah spent in a tiny village, spent 2 or 3 decades waiting for God's purpose, not knowing what God's great purpose is. I wrote this down. Listen to it carefully as I read this. God wants us to see results as we work for Him. But His first concern is our growth. That's why God often withholds successes until we have learned patience. The Lord teaches us this needed lesson through the blessed discipline of delay. Again, Jeremiah had some growing up to do. Jeremiah had a life to live, and we find here that just like Jeremiah, you may need to wait patiently until God reveals His purpose for you. But as you wait, you must do as Jeremiah did, and that is you must remain faithful in whatever situation you're in. Again, as you wait on God, what did Jeremiah do? As he was 20 and 30 years old, he was committed to following Jesus Christ. He lived in a very wicked time. People were disqualifying themselves from ever being used of God. But Jeremiah was someone that didn't know the great purpose for his life, but he was committed to following God. He was committed to growing spiritually mature. He was busy serving others in whatever way he could, waiting and serving God and being faithful until he had a clear picture of what God wanted for him for his life. The next thing I'll say, that not only does God's purpose require patience, but it requires obedience. Again, and this is what prepared Jeremiah to be used. It says that God's purpose for your life is realized more and more with every act of obedience. Obedience is God's starting point for you when it comes to understanding his purpose. Again, so as you attend Hiles Anderson College, and as I lay before you, and as I remind you that God loves you and that you are unique to God, and that you have a purpose, and you might not know what that purpose is, but you've got to be faithful and you've got to be patient. But how do you find out what that purpose is? You've got to be obedient. Just like Jeremiah was obedient. Obedience is the starting point when it comes to understanding his purpose. So this is all introduction. I said I just had about three statements I want to make for you, but just listen as I make a couple more statements. God has planned to work through you in ways that no one else can fulfill. And the question I have for you this morning is, are you committed to doing what God created you to do? Again, your faithfulness to God's purpose today will guide you into God's purpose for tomorrow. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, so as I take everything that you've said, I'm going to narrow it down to three things I want you to get. And number one is this: love what God loves. Love what God loves. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. How important is it that you accomplish God's will for your life? How important is it that when you come down to the end of your life, that you don't spend your whole life burning it on your own desires? Because once you leave this earth, you will step into eternity. And you will reap for eternity, having given your life, fulfilling God's purpose here on this earth. So number one, I say, love what God loves. And I, again, as I make that statement, how do you know what God loves? You know, I've been married for 22 years. And if you were to ask me questions about my wife, I know what she likes. I know everything about her, because we spend a lot of time together. You know, when it comes to setting your affection on things above, when it comes to loving what God loves, how do you know what God loves? How are you going to find your purpose? And again, the only way you can find out what God loves is by spending a lot of time with him, getting to know him, walking with him, building a strong relationship with him. Again, when it comes to fulfilling God's purpose, you number one, you have to love what God loves. Set your affection on things above. The Bible says in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What are you working for? What is your purpose? Why'd you come to Hiles Anderson College? When it comes to the job you're working, why are you working that job? It's just a means to an end. It's to pay your bills and to move on to God's greater purpose in your life. What is that purpose? Are you committed to knowing it? Will you be patient? Will you be patient until it is revealed what your purpose is? Are you going to be frustrated at your circumstances and quit and get out of the race? Are you going to be patient? You're going to spend time with God. You're going to set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Number one, love what God loves. Number two, make eternal things a priority. The Bible says in Matthew 6:31, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Number one, I said, love what God loves. Spend time with them. Number two, make eternal things a priority. Again, if we're going to live with purpose, let's talk about your life right now as a college student. What does that look like? Let's talk about yesterday. What did you do yesterday with eternity in mind? What did you do yesterday that is going to reap eternal benefits? What are you going to do today with eternity in mind? again, what do? We get up, we get ready, maybe take a shower, maybe you do that at night. Okay, hopefully you brush your teeth, okay? You get ready, you get dressed, you go to class. You get out of class, you go to work. You go to ministry. You go to church. You're in this cycle. You're in this routine. You're in this rhythm. Okay, but I'm not talking about a routine. I'm not talking about a schedule. I'm talking about your priorities. I'm talking about seeking the kingdom of God first. Again, as you prepare for ministry, as you are seeking God's purpose for your life, today matters. You're not just in training, working, and taking finals to one day get in the ministry and one day be faithful and one day start working with God and one day start fulfilling God's purpose. That's today. So you got to be patient. You say, well, I don't know how long it can be patient. Okay, again, God is sovereign. You're going to have difficulties that come into your life. You've got to accept those. You've got to walk with Him. You've got to get to know God. You've got to live with eternity. And, you know, again, as we talk about living for eternity and when it comes to making eternal things a priority, what does that look like? That means every day I'm doing something that with eternity in view. Okay, practically, what does that mean? That means I'm getting alone somewhere. That means I'm getting on my knees somewhere, sometime, every day. And I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to talk with Him. I'm going to pour out my concerns and my heart to Him. I'm going to pour out my discouragements and my problems. And I'm going to be very transparent. I'm going to tell Him how much I love Him. I'm going to walk with Him. That's eternal. I'm going to open the Word of God. I'm going to read His words. I'm going to allow His words to work in my heart and transform my life and change me into a vessel that brings glory to Him. How do you live today with eternity in mind? You share the gospel. You tell someone about Jesus Christ. You share your testimony. How do you live for eternity? You get a card out and you write a note of thanks to a teacher, encouraging your leadership. You take $5 out of your pocket and you go to a fellow student and you say, hey, I wanted to buy your lunch today. I can see you're having a tough time. Again, that's living for eternity, investing in others, doing for others, giving the gospel, living for eternity, making eternal things a priority. The last thing I'll say is in Colossians 3:4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So I said, number one, love what God loves. Number two, make eternal things a priority. And then number three, make Jesus Christ your life. Again, make Him a part of everything you do. As you're in the car driving, I'm all for listening to the radio and listening to sermons. But have Him a part of everything. Have Him a part of your dating relationship. Have Him a part of your testimony. Have Him a part of everything that you do. Make Christ, Jesus Christ, your life. You know, as I prepared this sermon, I was reminded, I'm going a totally different direction, but just stick with me. I was reminded in Genesis chapter number 29, verse 20. And it talks about Jacob and the love that he had for Rachel. And just such an interesting story as you read it, and you find that Jacob, he loved this girl so much that he agreed to work 7 years for her. And he worked for 7 years, and then he was deceived, and he was given cow-eyed Leah. And he decides to be okay with it. He decides because of his, why was he okay with it? Man, he just loved Rachel. He would have done anything to get Rachel. What did he do? He worked for 7 more years, 14 years. 14 years he worked to get the girl he loved. In Genesis 29:20, listen carefully, please. It says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. But listen to this statement. It says, it seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. It's, again, it said, all of that time he worked, it seemed but a few days. No big deal. 14 years, 7 years. Not a big deal. Why? Man, he loved her. When you look at his life, the love that he had for her, it brought him to serve. He was willing to serve as long as it took. Why? Because he loved Rachel. He was, again, that love that he had for her, what else? It created longevity in service. He served for a long time. Why? Yeah, he loved Rachel. What else? It produced a joy in serving. It wasn't a drudgery. When it comes to all that you have to do, all the rules, all the things that you're supposed to do that are right, is it a drudgery that we have to do it, have to visit longer, have to go soul winning that long, have to go to church again, another program, another... You would think, you know, is this God's will? Is this misery? You look at the life of Jacob, and he said, you know what, I'd work seven more. I would work seven more. When it comes to fulfilling God's purpose in your life, again, you're going to do that if you fall in love with God. And you understand that, you know, Lord, it doesn't matter. I'll walk with you and I'll be patient. And you know, Lord, I don't understand everything that you've brought into my life. Lord, I've been hurt. And Lord, I've got... Lord, I'm not happy with maybe the way I look. I'm not happy with my circumstance. But understand that you're not a mistake. Understand that God loves you. Understand that God needs you. Understand that your life can bring glory to God unlike any other life here. You, singularly, you are important to God. God has a work for you to do. It's going to be different than my work. It's important. What you do for God is important. I know you're training. Okay, but this is the... And I know you want to do something. And I know you want to see success. But maybe the reason you're not seeing the success that you so desire is because God needs you to mature. And God needs you to walk with him and know him. Again, love what God loves. Secondly, make eternal things a priority. Thirdly, make Jesus Christ your life. You know, as I present this, again, I'm going to pray. You'll be out the door, hitting the lunch line, going to work. As I prepare this, again, what do we do? What do we do with that? Again, I'm presenting a truth from the Word of God. So it's not personal. It's not like, what are you going to do because I preach to you? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the truth that was presented from the Word of God? What's going to change? You and I both know that in many of your lives, things need to change. That you need to get alone with God and you need to get things right with him. There's bitterness. You haven't forgiven. There's things in your life that you're upset with God about. Again, you need to accept those and thank God for them. Ask him to use those instances in your life for his glory. And then again, things need to change. What are you going to do to get to know God more and better? What are you going to do today with eternity in mind? What are you going to do in your dating relationship that's different than you're doing now so that Christ is honored and glorified? It's the center of that relationship. Again, the Christian life is a blessed life. Let's commit to finishing this race that we're in and come down to the end of our lives and say, you know what? The purpose that I had, it definitely wasn't what I would have picked for myself. But you know what? It was God's purpose, and I'm so happy that I gave my life to fulfilling his purpose. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you for this time together. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that